The Truth News Network. Today's noise giving you heartburn? D-A-N. That's how you spell relief. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Here's Dan Newman.
I guess now I'm an acid in the making. Thank you, Pete Moss, for that flowery introduction, and welcome to you. Welcome back to Truth News Network. I don't know if it's been this way where you are, but it's been kind of dry. Thankfully, we've gotten a little rain here. Of course, Northwest Louisiana, where I am, is getting that rain at the expense of all those people in Southeast Texas that the Tropical Depression has just dumped all kind of rain on, floods and everything. Our hearts go out to them, and we hope that that doesn't take the toll that previous tropical storms and hurricanes have. That kind of molds right into our topic today. Climate change, it's a religion. It absolutely has. Originally, it was a social and political cause, but no more. It's a religion. And that shouldn't surprise you, with the latest numbers showing that a large majority of Americans than ever do not affiliate themselves as religious people. It seems only natural they'd replace religion with something that commands as much attention, devotion, and fervor as does religion. Enter climate change. Now, don't dismiss this premise just yet. NBC has actually set up online a site for those who have, quote-unquote, sinned regarding not initiating or ignoring the climate change rules, a place for them to chronicle their repentances. That's a religious term. Some of the confessions are kind of funny. Here are a few of them. I keep my home thermostat at 75 degrees in the winter and 55 degrees in the summer. Deal with it, hippies. I need to recycle more, especially since I drink 40 bottles of water a week. But the recycling truck only comes by my house on the day that I sleep in. I use half a roll of toilet paper whenever I'm wiping. I run my air conditioner 24/7. I'm not going to sweat to appease this climate religion. I don't do anything for the environment, and I don't care. Some of these are kind of funny. But you know what? I think NBC may have it on something. While religious membership in the U.S. has plummeted, it appears that the religion of climate change is growing rapidly. The two have much in common when you think about it. Most religions are based on unscientific facts. Climate change advocates, although they claim to base each of their claims on specific scientific facts, they too can honestly not claim they're all facts. There certainly are a large number of scientists who claim to have factual evidence supporting climate change. There are just as many scientists who present a different set of facts disproving what the climate change proponents allege. In the spirit of transparency, and in the spirit of many in the U.S. leading Americans down a path of forgetfulness of American history, we have researched at Truth News Network to find some of the truths regarding climate change predictions that scientists have offered up to Americans accompanied by facts that have been debunked in almost always a pretty dramatic way. What's that dramatic way? They didn't happen. In fact, they're all still waiting to happen. So let's just move in, and there's a long, long laundry list. It goes way back into the 30s and 40s, but we'll start in the 60s with the climate doomsday predictions. Los Angeles Times, 1967. It is already too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine, a Stanford University biologist said. Paul Ehrlich said the time of famines is upon us and will be at its worst and most disastrous by 1975. He said the population of the U.S. is already too big, that birth control may have to be accomplished by making it involuntary and by putting sterilizing agents into staple foods and drinking water, and the Roman Catholic Church should be pressured into going along with routine measures of population control. Then in 1970, in the Boston Globe, air pollution may obliterate the sun and cause a new ice age in the first third of the next century if the population continues to grow and the Earth's resources are consumed at the present rate, a pollution expert predicted. James P. Lodge, Jr. also warned that if the current rate of increase in electric power generation continues, The demands for cooling water will boil dry the entire flow of the rivers and streams of the continental United States. The next year, 1971, in the Washington Post, Dr. S.I. Rasool of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration and Columbia University says that, quote, in the next 50 years, the fine dust that man constantly puts into the atmosphere by fossil fuel burning could screen out so much sunlight that the average temperature could drop by 6 degrees. If sustained over several years, 5 to 10, such a temperature decrease could be sufficient to trigger an ice age. This from the Brown University Department of Geological Sciences, December 3, 1972, in a letter to the U.S. President. Aware of your deep concern with the future of the world, we feel obliged to inform you in the results of the scientific conference held here recently. The main conclusion of the meeting was that a global deterioration of climate by order of magnitude larger than any hitherto experienced by civilized mankind is a very real possibility and indeed may be due very soon. In The Guardian, January 29, 1974, worldwide and rapid trends towards a mini ice age are emerging from the first long-term analyses of satellite weather pictures. This appears to be in keeping with other long-term climatic changes, all of which suggest that after reaching a climax of warmth between 1935 and 1955, world average temperatures are now falling, but the rate of increase in snow and ice cover is much faster than would be expected from other trends. In Time magazine, June 24, 1974, in Another Ice Age? In Africa, drought continues for the sixth consecutive year, adding terribly to the toll of famine victims. During 1972, record rains in part of the U.S., Pakistan, and Japan caused some of the worst floodings in centuries. In Canada's wheat belt, a particularly chilly and rainy spring has delayed planting and may well bring a disappointingly small harvest. Telltale signs are everywhere, from the unexpected persistence and thickness of pack ice in the waters around Iceland to the southward migration of a warmth-loving creature like the armadillo from the Midwest. The New York Times, July 18, 1976. The cooling, writes Stephen Schneider, a young climatologist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, reflecting the consensus of the climatological community in his new book, The Genesis Strategy. He warned that world food reserves are an insufficient hedge against future famines, has been heard among the scientific community for years, but Schneider had decided to explain the entire problem as responsibly and accurately as he can to the general public, and thus has put together a useful and important book. And then we'll quickly roll through some bullet points in a timeline regarding world climate change. In 1980, a story titled Acid Rain Kills Life in Lakes was published in the Noblesville Ledger. That's in Noblesville, Indiana, a suburb of Indianapolis. But 10 years later, the U.S. government program formed to study acid rain concluded, acid rain, no environmental crisis. January 5, 1978, the New York Times published a story titled No End in Sight to 30-Year Cooling Trend. James Hansen of NASA in the Miami Herald on June 24, 1988 said this, it is time to stop waffling so much and say the evidence is pretty strong that the greenhouse effect is here. Our climate model simulations for the late 1980s and 90s indicate a tendency for an increase of heat wave drought situations in the southeast and Midwest United States, he testified. The last really dry year, incidentally, in the Midwest was 1988, and recent years have been recorded as wet. The Canberra Times of Canberra, Australia, on September 26, 1988, published this. A gradual rise in average sea level is threatening to completely cover the Indian Ocean nation, comprised of 1,196 small islands within the next 30 years. That's according to authorities. The Environmental Affairs Director, Hussein Shihab, said an estimated rise of 30 to 50 centimeters in the next 20 to 40 years could be catastrophic for most of the islands, which were no more than a meter above sea level. But the end of the Maldives and its 200,000 people could come sooner if drinking water supplies dry up by 1992, as predicted. So let's look at a few, just for a moment, climate changes predictions in the 2000s. The Guardian, February 21st, 2004. Britain will be Siberia in less than 20 years. According to a secret government report, Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. Nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting will erupt across the world. In the Associated Press, 2008, Al Gore warns of ice-free Arctic by 2013. On December 14, 2008, former presidential candidate and Vice President Al Gore predicted the North Polar ice cap would be completely ice-free in 5 years. As reported on WUWT, Gore made the predictions to a German TV audience at the COP15 climate conference. 2013, Arctic ice-free by 2016. An ongoing U.S. Department of Energy-backed research project led by U.S. Navy scientists predicts that the Arctic could lose its summer sea ice cover as early as 2016. That's 84 years ahead of conventional model projections. The project, based out of the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School's Department of Oceanography, uses complex modeling techniques that make its projections more accurate than our others. May 14, 2014, French Foreign Minister, 500 days to avoid climate chaos. Secretary of State John Kerry welcomed French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius to the State Department in Washington on Tuesday to discuss a range of issues, from Iran to Syria to climate change, or, in the words of the foreign minister, climate chaos. Kerry and Fabius made a joint appearance before their meeting, and the foreign minister warned that only 500 days remained to avoid climate chaos. And then here we are in 2019. We won't go deep into it because you all get it slapped in your face almost daily. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, quote, "Millennials and people, you know, Generation Z and all these folks that will come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it?" Let's summarize this. Honestly, I could continue to give you headline after headline, quote after quote, excerpt after excerpt of the dire predictions of the end of life on Earth as we know it due directly to climate change. Climate change has been known as a new ice age, earth scorching, famine, permanent flooding, and Armageddon. You take your pick. They're all about the same thing. Yes, there are scientists quoted time after time, and yes, they are quick to produce data to back up their claims. But oddly enough, there are just as many, if not more, scientists who are just as educated, just as knowledgeable, who have just as much data to support their findings that plainly state the other side's scientists have it wrong. Well, who's right? Not here to argue that point today, but I think there's one thing we should all mutually agree on. Though there is science on both sides, there are examples to support allegations of both sides. There are current and past weather occurrences which should prove there's something up. But all that they prove is that weather and climate change constantly. It further proves that hard 100% facts do not support an absolute version of those on either side. And to believe the Earth's about to end, climate change advocates are forced to rely on one thing and one thing only to support their basis for saying so: faith. Now, faith is pretty much a religious term, and as defined in the Bible in the New International Version, Hebrews 11:1, it states this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see." Climate change zealots have turned their beliefs into a virtual religion. It's factual. That's happening. To commit oneself to it, they must go totally all in. No, they're not people who believe that pollution is destroying Earth as we know it. Most people on Earth believe that pollution is horrible, takes a terrific toll on our world, and certainly can be, if not eliminated, dramatically reduced by people. But that's not enough for the zealots. Adherent religious people go all in on their beliefs. Most people understand and accept that they do that, and most people believe many religious folks take their beliefs too far. Now, I'm going to be clear here. I believe we have climate change all the time and every year. Weather is always unpredictable, can be devastatingly dangerous, and is extremely difficult to predict and deal with in a scientific manner. I believe climate change is in that same class. We must diligently work to reduce our pollution. I think we all agree on that. We must work diligently to develop different types of energy that will allow us to depend less around the world on fossil fuels. But we cannot do that by eliminating the usage of fossil fuels. Fossil fuel is here. It's created a worldwide industry that supports billions of people and the economies of more than 150 countries. Science has led us through constant innovation to the reduction of pollution from fossil fuel by over 70%. And we can do better. And as we are doing better year after year after year, pollution directly resulting from fossil fuels is declining dramatically. Solar energy, battery power, wind energy creation are up, and they are up-and-coming industries. They're still in development stages to make commercially viable. We need to keep pushing forward in development and improving those energy sectors while at the same time finding new alternative energy sources. But while doing so, we simply cannot and must not destroy the energy platforms we have in place that are working so well worldwide. It's financially, it's fiscally impossible to do. And, this is a quote from me, it's just plain stupid. Many on the far left politically have led the U.S. into an all-out war to do totally away with fossil fuels, not with facts, but with the emotion akin to a religion. That's dangerous. Why? Not solely because of their purpose. Making fuel less dangerous to the environment is an admirable thing, but because they're preaching an all-or-nothing policy, leaving us no real alternatives. And that's what has happened throughout U.S. history and religion. You just heard some of the dire predictions that were made, and people supported them. Thousands, maybe even millions of people supported them and thought that was true. They didn't happen. The sad thing is that their zealous attitudes and pretentious threats and demands make their idea far less palatable to most Americans. I think we all need to work on becoming more environmentally conscious in everything we do. Promote and support alternative energy research and development, as you can. But please stop the demonization of fossil fuel and all who work in that industry and all that use fossil fuel energy until we get something better and as expensive or maybe even less. Help us to all amicably work together for the common cause of keeping our environment as clean as possible. And by the way, Al Gore famously proved to us all that the world's going to end in 10 years proclamation he made more than 10 years ago was a bogus fear tactic. We don't need to go in that direction with any more predictions. I, for one, would be more open to hearing a scientist or some scientist create an environmental model to simply clean up our environment. They need to leave off the ending two words they continually, on the left, slap us in the face with. One of those two words, or else. Hey, I want to thank you for being here today. Again, a very informative topic. And let me just say this. I've got, I don't know how many more quotes, more newspaper articles, more speeches, more magazine articles that contain those predictions and more like them that I just gave to you. If you'd like a copy of those, send me an email just saying, Dan, I'd like your environmental copy, and I'll send it to you. Send it to dan@truthnewsnet.org. That's dan@truthnewsnet.org. I tell you what, I won't send you all of the articles themselves. I'll send you links. I'll create a page with hyperlinks on the page that you can click on and go to the articles. That would be a lot less wasteful and more environmentally friendly if I did than try to print all of that for you. Thanks for being here today. Love having you along. If we don't talk this weekend, have a great one and we'll be back. There's so much going on. We'll catch up on the other side of the weekend. And until then, you have a great day and a great weekend. So long, everybody.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN, the Truth News Network.